lovely to welcome you all to our chapel this morning, to our service, and we're going to have Sunday school as well this morning, so that'll be good. And I'd just like to start by looking briefly at Psalm 119, verses 9 and 10. So we're going to be talking about Ezra this morning, and Ezra may have well have wrote this psalm, we're not really sure. But let's just read this out together, shall we? How can a young person stay pure? By obeying your word. I have tried hard to find you. Don't let me wander from your commands. And so this is just saying, how can a young person stay pure? The answer is very simple. What's the answer? By obeying your word. And then it goes on, I've tried really hard to find you, God. I've tried really hard. And it's saying, God, please don't let me wander away. God is able to hold on. Great. So, as I said earlier, we're talking about Ezra today. Ezra in the Old Testament of the Bible. And I thought we ought to go for our hand signs because we can add Ezra to the end of the hand signs. We say Ezra people, right? Ezra people. That's our hand sign for Ezra. So, we've got two more hand signs to do, and then we can summarize the whole of the Old Testament. So, I think that's really good to be able to do that. So, I'm really encouraging you to get with these hand signs, because we can just know the whole big picture of the Old Testament when we do, when we have. So, anybody joining in, stand up, and we really go for this, and we can learn as we go. Creation, fall, flood, nations, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Passover, law, tabernacle, offerings and feasts, counting, spying, wandering, dying, second law, Joshua, divide and conquer, 12 tribes, judges, Deborah, Gideon, Samson, loving Ruth, Samuel, united kingdom, Saul, no heart, David, whole heart, Solomon, half heart, divided kingdom, mostly bad kings, prophets speak, Israel scattered, Judah exiled, Judah returned, Zerubbabel, temple, Esther, queen, Ezra, people. Well done. Excellent. So there's two more to go and we'll be able to get right through the Old Testament. I just want to say briefly before you go to Sunday school and we have our songs. Ezra was a priest. He was a leader of the people of Israel. He was a priest and also a scribe. So what do scribes do? Write. Thank you. Scribes write. And so Ezra had a copy of the law and he taught this law to all the people. And the law was not just the Ten Commandments. There were 600 odd more laws that he would have taught to the people. And so it goes on forever, it seems. And so here's the Ten Commandments in Hebrew and then they're in English, thankfully. But Ezra taught the law. But the really, really good thing with Ezra was that he practiced what he preached. He didn't just tell others, this is what you've got to do, you've got to obey God's law, but he obeyed it too. And the lesson for us there is if we're Christians, you know, we haven't got to just say we're a Christian, we've got to behave like a Christian. And then people will know that we are Christians by the way we behave. And what was that verse, our memory verse, altogether? Don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. James 1:22. Okay, so we're going, for those of you who don't know, we're going through the books of the Bible in chronological order when I'm speaking. And we've got as far as Ezra. So can we have our books of the Bible slide up? All the ones coloured in we've done. There's Ezra. Fits into the kind of the first quarter of the Bible, really, volume-wise. And it's kind of very near to the end of the history of the Old Testament. And so or the books that come after that are not in chronological order, particularly, but they're prophets and Psalms and those other books. Okay, so that's where we are. And our timeline, here comes Ezra in. Ezra, the man, Ezra the book is older or long over a longer time period than Ezra the man. So I'm not sure how many years that book covers there, but Ezra wasn't quite that old, I don't think. So Ezra, the timeline. So the book is divided into two parts. Chapters 1 to 6 describes Zerubbabel coming back with 50,000 people, building a temple. Ezra wasn't there at that time. He was back there in Persia. And it could even been before he was born. So 80 years later, Ezra comes back from Persia because he's born in Persia over there on our map sort of thing. And he comes back and he teaches the law to the people. You know, all those 600 odd laws he taught to the people because he was a priest, he was a leader, and he was a scribe as well. So then chapter 7 to 10 tells us about Ezra coming back with another group of people, about 1,800 of people, coming back and teaching them the law and how they realize they're not keeping the law. And so they confess their sins and ask God for forgiveness. But the book of Esther takes place in between chapter 6 and 7. So we did Esther last time. A bit difficult to know which to do first, but Esther fits in between chapters 6 and 7. So our first reading, Ezra chapter 2. And as you know, I like to ask people to read. So Ezra chapter 2 comes up. And anybody keen on reading this one? Brian, thank you. But we're not going to read it because it's just a big long list of names. That doesn't mean to say it's not worth reading. But to illustrate the point, this is not just a sort of a rambling old story which may or may not have happened. This this did happen. They've already gone upstairs, so if you'd like to carry on. It's nice to see you. It's fine to be late. So that's good. And let's have a look at verse 70. And it says, so the priests and Levites and singers and gatekeepers and the temple servants and some of the common people settled in the villages near Jerusalem. The rest of the people returned to their own towns throughout Israel. So, you know, the detail, the family names and the numbers of the people in the families just goes to show this was a historical fact. Real people in real time. It was a real event. And so that's what I wanted to illustrate just through flashing through chapter 2, really. This really happened. You know, people were named. We had a nice time down here yesterday afternoon. And if I named all the people and told you who was here, then you would say, oh yeah, okay. You would understand more. You would see it in a slightly different light. And so I think Ezra is being very clear here. He was a scribe. That was his job. And that's what he did. So we have our next reading, actually, is Ezra chapter 7, which I do want somebody to read. Ezra 7, 8 to 10. This one, I don't think, has any difficult names in it. Thank you, Selena.
Ezra arrived in Jerusalem in August of that year. He had arranged to leave Babylon on April the 8th, the first day of the new year, and he arrived at Jerusalem on August the 4th, for the gracious hand of his God was on him. This was because Ezra had determined to study and obey the law of the Lord and to teach those decrees and regulations to the people of Israel.
Thank you. So did you notice a gracious hand of the Lord was on him because he was determined to study and obey the law and to teach those decrees and regulations to the other people. He was determined to practice what he preached. And that is really Ezra's hallmark, you know. He practiced what he preached. He believed these things and he wanted other people to believe them too. And he did what it took to do those two things. What a difference that makes when it's not a theory for people, but it's something that they believe. You know, you can see it in somebody when they tell you these things, can't you? Old memory verse that we've had. Should we say this together? I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Psalm 119, verse 11. And another one there we have. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalm 119, verse 105. And so again, you know, Ezra could well have written these words. They're really good words, words to encourage us and to help us. So we're going to go on a little bit further in Ezra chapter 7, verses 12 to 15. And this is a letter from the king to Ezra and to anybody else who reads it. We have a volunteer over here. Thank you.
From Artaxerxes, the king of kings, to Ezra the priest, the teacher of the law of the God of heaven, greetings. I decree that any of the people of Israel in my kingdom, including the priests and Levites, may volunteer to return to Jerusalem with you. I and my council of seven hereby instruct you to conduct an inquiry into the situation in Judah and Jerusalem based on your God's law, which is in your hand. We also commission you to take with you silver and gold, which are freely presenting as an offering to the God of Israel who lives in Jerusalem.
Thank you, Brian. And so we see there's a letter from the king to Ezra. Ezra was in with the king and he had the king's favor on him. And as I said, it's 80 years after Zerubbabel came back and built the temple. And this king would have probably known about Queen Esther as well. His mother, I think, was probably Queen Vashti's son. So the queen before Esther was King Artaxerxes' mother. So Esther, being a Jew, would have been familiar to him, and he would have known, therefore, something about the Jewish people, the nation, and what was going on. And God was actually using him to help reestablish the Jews to Judea. You know, we had Judah exiled, Judah returned. God was using this foreign king, the king of Persia, to do that. To get those Jews back into Jerusalem. And God can and does use whoever or whatever he wants to bring about his purposes. Sometimes we struggle with that. You know, we think, God, why would you use that person to do this thing? But God is sovereign. God has a plan and God is going to work that plan out one way or another. And so Ezra gets this letter and we just want to read Ezra's response to this letter. He says, very happy with this new job. And do I have a volunteer? Thank you, Aaron.
Praise the Lord, the God of our ancestors, who made the king want to beautify the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem. And praise him for demonstrating such unfailing love to me by honouring me before the king, his council, and all his mighty nobles. I felt encouraged because the gracious hand of the Lord my God was on me, and I gathered some of the leaders of Israel to return with me to Jerusalem.
So Ezra was happy with his new job, with his commission, bring those people back, teach the law, and he had this letter from the king, and Ezra praised God. He didn't praise the king, which he could have been tempted to do. You know, the king had just gave him his affirmation. He'd given this letter, which was going to help get him there and get people around. But he didn't praise the king. He praised God. And that's important, isn't it? We need to praise the creator and not the things he has created. So Ezra, like I said, brought back about 1,800 people to Jerusalem and a whole load of treasure as well. There was tons of the stuff. Quite literally, I believe. And they took 4 months to travel back. Anybody know how many miles it was? Possibly roughly in round, very, very round figures. Go for half. 900,000. Somewhere about that. That's a lot of miles to travel. Possibly 10 miles a day, is that? Plenty of mathematicians here to put me right. But 10 miles don't sound that much, but if you've got to probably have your Sabbath day off and then you've got to sort your food out as well. My goodness knows how they did that for all that time. But yeah, they traveled a long way. And our next hymn really, I think, would be Ezra's thoughts. 579, restore, O Lord, the honor of your name. Okay, so we have another reading now, Ezra 9, 1 and 2. So there's some tricky names in this one, so it's a bit of a warning. Anybody's okay with tricky names? Go for it, Bridget. Thank you.
When these things had been done, the Jewish leaders came to me and said, "Many of the people of Israel, and even some of the priests and Levites, have not kept themselves separate from the other peoples living in the land. They have taken up the detestable practices of the Canaanites, Hittites, Perizzites, Jebusites, Ammonites, Moabites, Egyptians, and Amorites. For the men of Israel have married women from these people and have taken them as wives for their sons. So the holy race has become polluted by these mixed marriages. Worse yet, the leaders and officials have led the way in this outrage."
So we find out that while the people were in Persia, they hadn't followed the law. You know, there's no temple there. That was kind of their excuse in a way. But they hadn't followed the law, and they had married other people other than Israelites. But that wasn't the big problem here. The big problem was that they had followed the other gods. The disgusting practices of the local people. They would have been worshipping the fertility god and going through even into child sacrifice possibly. You know, and so this is not about racial prejudice. This is because all the people were from the same background. This is about spiritual things. And the thing was they should only be worshipping the creator god and not the other gods that people around worshipped. So anybody got any ideas what these other gods would have been worshipped? Baal, yeah. Some other examples? Moloch. Dagon. He's a fish god, wasn't he?
Chemosh.
Do you know anything about Chemosh?
I think he was the abomination of the Ammonites.
Okay, yeah. I won't argue with you. Yeah, so in easier language, we'd have the fish god, the sun god, the fertility sort of sex god, all these other gods around. And the people of Israel had started worshipping those because they'd come with their partner, their marriage partners, and they hadn't stayed true to God. And so really, we have the same issues today, don't we? Only we frame them differently. You know, we've got the money god, my truth god, perhaps, car, fashion, politics. You know, where we put our most of our free time and resources, it's very easy to become our gods. And it's not necessarily true, but it's very easy for them to become sort of idols in our lives. But if we think about King Solomon, you know, the most wisest man around, it was said, and he fell in this area too, didn't he? You know, even with all his wisdom, he fell. Solomon broke God's law, first of all, by having many, many wives. And the foreign princesses he married, they brought their foreign gods with them. And Solomon even worshipped these foreign gods with his wives. And so one step leads to another, you know, and Solomon's second half of his life was not so great. He fell away from God. Because he broke that simple first commandment, there, worship only God. And so that's why we said Solomon half a heart. Solomon started really well, but he didn't finish so well. And so we need to bear that in mind. You know, quite a few of us are not young anymore. You know, we may well have started well, but are we going to finish well? It's a question we need to keep asking ourselves. And so we are living in this world which has gone away from God. You know, God is not the first thing most people think about in the morning. And so we too can be taken away from God so easily. The modern issues, you know, LGBT stuff all around us, choose your gender, whatever you want to do. We can easily be sucked in with compassion for various people with various problems. And we can soon be go in the wrong direction if we're not careful. One of our old memory verses from Proverbs. Should we say this together? "He who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm."
Proverbs 13:20.
OK, Okay, great advice, isn't it? You know, those close to us will influence us. So let's be careful. Ezra challenged the people to choose who they were going to serve. Was it going to serve God or themselves? Similar to what Joshua said way back then in the book of Joshua today. Everybody, choose today whom you will serve. But as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. Joshua 24, verse 15. And so Ezra was challenging these people, you know, what are you going to do? And the result of this challenge was that the people confessed their sin. Isaiah 1:18, another one for us to go together. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And so Ezra would have been having this in his mind, you know, and teaching the people, and the result was that the people confess their sins. And that's our next reading, really, Ezra chapter 10, verse 1. We have some happy volunteer. Mum, do you want to go for this one?
While Israel prayed and made this confession, weeping and lying face down on the ground in front of the temple of God, a very large crowd of people from Israel, men, women and children, gathered and wept bitterly with him.
Thank you. And so there they were, confessing their sins that Ezra had pointed out to them. And so we need to be careful in this area of life, don't we? Who we marry, who we associate with. And here we're reading that some of the people actually divorced their wives. And, you know, and now we're living in the New Testament times, we have to say, well, you know, was that the right thing, actually? And the Paul in the book of 1 Corinthians 7 would probably not go along with Ezra at this point, and it's a different era. And so the New Testament doesn't advocate divorce, but it says, you know, don't get yourself in these situations in the first place. And so we see as Christians, it's our job to support people if they're in these difficulties, to bring them back to God, to come alongside and to help and bring healing, bring God's healing into their lives. And so that's our place, I think, as Christians today, not to be judgmental, not to be pointing the finger, but to be bringing healing and hope and God into people's lives. And it's always good to remember another memory verse, Psalm 34. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. Psalm 34, verse 18. And another one is, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Remember that position? Ezra was flat on the ground, confessing his sins and weeping and crying. But what does Isaiah say? But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings, like wings with eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall run and not faint. You know, this is what God can do for us when we confess our sins. And the problem with us and the Jewish people, actually, is what Ezekiel pointed out back there in the Old Testament. And he said this one. Should we all read this one? And I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. Do you know, somebody sort of implied this as they come into chapel this morning, that, you know, we are rebellious in here, aren't we? You know, we don't want to do what God tells us to do. You know, we want to go our own way. And that is our problem, along with the Jewish people. They had the same problem. It's a problem in here. The Jewish people had done wrong, and God had punished them by sending them away to Babylon. when they were in there, they couldn't follow the laws of the Old Testament because they didn't have a temple. But when they came back to their land, they built a temple. They had the temple, but they had still the same problem in their hearts. They wanted to go their own ways. They had this rebellious, stony heart, just like we do, I believe. And so what they and us need is a heart transplant that Ezekiel spoke about. You know, I will give you a new heart. I'll put a new spirit in you, you know. Or as the Apostle Paul spoke about in 2 Corinthians, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. 2 Corinthians 5:17. The problem is we cannot save ourselves. We all want to save ourselves. You know, we think, oh, I'll just do this. I'll work harder. I'll struggle more in that area. But, you know, we cannot save ourselves. But all the time, you know, we've got that ringing in our head. I did it my way. You know, that old Frank Sinatra song, I did it my way. And people have that at various funerals, don't they? And sometimes, you know, I go around, I go into 15 butcher shops a week. And I say to the butchers, hey, how are you this morning? And I'm all right. They say, it's everybody else. And we feel that, don't we? If only other people behave themselves, we wouldn't need to change, would we? We'd be all right. But it's other people is a problem. But, you know, we do need to change. We have got these stubborn hearts, which are sinful nature, but we can confess our sins. And another memory verse, which we've already had already once today, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
1 John 1:9.
You know, we can't save ourselves, but Jesus can save us and cleanse us from our unrighteousness. Jesus took our punishment for our sins when he died on the cross. He said, I will take your wrongness and give you my rightness. I will give you a new heart. I'll go further now. I'll make you a whole new creation. Just believe in me and what I've done for you on the cross at Calvary. And that's the amazing message of the Bible. You know, we get things wrong, but Jesus is there to bring forgiveness, to bring us a whole new life, a whole new heart, a whole new being. And he will do this when we believe in him. After this, we're going to have a time of prayer when we can all pray out loud or quietly. And so be thinking about what you might like to pray about. You might like to be giving thanks. You might like to be praying for the country, for the by-election, whatever is up to you. But before that, we're going to sing a wonderful hymn, 748. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. I have light in my soul for which long I have sought since Jesus came into my heart. We'll have a time of prayer now. We can, as they say, we can pray about as we feel led, about what we like, our families, friends, people we met yesterday, perhaps down here. Let's pray and ask God to be in those situations that we just love him to be there.
So Lord God, I just thank you
that you are a listening God. You hear our prayers. You answer our prayers. Lord, it's so good that you care for us. And you are a God of love, and so we thank you so much, Lord, that you loved us so much that you sent Jesus to save us by his death on the cross at Calvary and rising again 3 days later, Lord, giving us new life. Thank you so much. Thank you, Lord. Let us rejoice in this. Let us praise you because of this. And let that praise just filter out to other people that they want to know what it's all about. Help us, Lord, as we just rub shoulders with the world this coming week. And let us be a blessing to those we meet. Amen. Okay, so our last hymn is 1151. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And the chorus goes, my chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Saviour has ransomed me. Shall we stand and sing Amazing Grace?